From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We get the week started for you. Open lines at the half this hour. Next hour, cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, our guest, Mothman, Bigfoot, and the copycat effect. But first, some quick headlines before we get into our top story. A powerful bomb tore through the motorcade of a former prime minister Monday in Lebanon, killing him, carving a 30-foot hole in a street and turning armored cars into burning wrecks. The devastation harked back to Lebanon's violent past and raised fears of new bloodshed in the bitter dispute over Syria, the country's chief power broker. The blast wounded 100 people and killed 10, including the main target, Rafik Hariri, a billionaire businessman who helped rebuild Lebanon after its civil war, but had recently fallen out with Syria. The United States has called the attack a terrible reminder that Lebanon still must shake free of occupation by Syria, the neighbor that keeps 15,000 troops here and influences virtually all key political decisions. Now, Syria has denied any role and condemned the assassination, but opposition leaders in Lebanon say they held both the Lebanese and Syrian governments responsible and demanded Syrian troops withdraw. More on this later on this hour. A French-educated finance minister and a former London physician emerged Monday as the top candidates to be Iraq's new prime minister after the clergy-backed Shiite Muslim Alliance failed to get the necessary majority of votes to control the legislature. Meanwhile, violence continued with roadside bombs on Monday killing a U.S. soldier and three Iraqi National Guard troops. A fire raged through a crowded mosque in Tehran, Iran, during evening prayer hours after a female worshiper's veil caught flames because of a kerosene heater, killing at least 59 people, injuring more than 250. A gas explosion in a coal mine in China's northeast killed at least 203 miners. It's the deadliest such disaster reported there since communist rule began in 1949. Remember, several months ago, we were reporting on a story that was coming out of Detroit that they might have found a house where they thought maybe former Teamster boss Jimmy Hoffa might have been killed. They took blood samples. Well, today they've reported that those were not the blood samples of Jimmy Hoffa. Who died there? No one knows, but they say it was not Jimmy Hoffa. Our top story, Sister Lucia, the last survivor among the three Portuguese children to whom the Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima, has died at the age of 97. Sister Lucia died at her Carmelite convent in Portugal after a long illness. Living in isolation in her convent, Sister Lucia had reportedly lost her eyesight and hearing in the months preceding her death. Now, she was born March 22, 1907, Lucy dos Santos. She was only 10 years old when the Virgin Mary apparently appeared to her and two young cousins, Francisco and Joaquinta Marto, on a field outside of the town of Fatima on May 13, 1917. The apparitions continued through October 13th of that same year, and the seers conveyed Mary's predictions of World War II and the rise of communism. Sister Lucia also revealed the famous third secret of Fatima, which was kept secret by successive popes until apparently May of 2000, when Pope John Paul revealed the text of a mystical vision involving a bishop dressed in white who was struggling towards the cross over the bodies of martyrs until he himself was felled by gunfire. Pope John Paul has concluded that the vision referred to the attempt on his own life. However, some continue to insist that aspects of the third secret have not yet been disclosed, although the Vatican insists that there is nothing more to reveal. In a moment, our guest will be Father Nicholas Gruner. We'll talk about the death of Sister Lucia. Father Nicholas Gruner is a priest ordained more than 26 years ago. He has his degree in Bachelor of Commerce from McGill University. He received his STB, that's Bachelor of Sacred Theology, and STL, Licentiate of Sacred Theology, and has successfully passed all his courses with the highest honors in his studies for the STD, the Doctorate in Sacred Theology, from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. As an alumnus of the prestigious Angelicum and a student of St. Thomas, he continues his theological research in the light of the message of Our Lady of Fatima and publishes his insights in the Fatima Crusader and other Fatima apostolate publications. He is our guest this half hour on Coast to Coast as we talk about the sad passing of Sister Lucia. Father, welcome back to Coast to Coast. How are you?
Fine, thank you, George. And how are you?
Good.
Appreciate being on the program. And well, it is sad for us, but it's not sad for Sister Lucy. She, Our Lady, promised her that she would go to heaven, and she said that she would her Immaculate Heart would be her refuge in the way that would lead her to God. And so, she, after a long time, close to 98 years, just a month short of 98 years. Sister Lucy's finally gone to reward.
Father, so, is her passing, does it send a message in terms of anything that might have been told at Fatima or anything else that you and others have studied?
Well, certainly her, you know, people would ask me in different talks I would give whether Sister Lucy would see the victory, see the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And there's nothing in the prophecy saying that she would. Although some people could read into some prophecy something that wasn't obviously there. The triumph of Our Immaculate Heart has not taken place. The Pope has not done the consecration of Russia. The whole secret is, as you mentioned, at least I'm for one, and we give our arguments in the book, The Devil's Final Battle, has not been released by the Vatican, despite what they say about it. And the reason they don't release it is because it's in direct contradiction to their policies since the Second Vatican Council.
Do you believe that that third prediction of Fatima, the third secret, may be so horrific that that also is another reason they're not releasing it to us?
Well, it is certainly, as Maliki Martin said on this same program about 7 years ago now, just before his death or a year before his death, he said that when this real secret is released, he said that the churches would be full, people would be on their knees, people would be lined up for confessions, you know, great long lines for confessions. That, of course, has not happened with what the Vatican released in 2000, because they haven't released the whole secret, the real, the substantial part of the secret. They have not released the words of Our Lady, as the Vatican itself said, the words in 1960 when they talked about the secret in a press release. They said the letter containing the words of Our Lady. What they released in 2000 was not the words of Our Lady. It contradicts everything that Pope Pius XII has said. Even Cardinal Ratzinger in 1984 said this, referring to the substance of the secret, something quite different. And so I wonder, I hope that it hasn't happened that with the death of Sister Lucy, the real secret is buried with her. But I expect that attempt will certainly be tried by the people in power trying to bury her secret.
You know, if you believe in life after death, as you do and I do and so many other people do, I could only imagine what it was like for Sister Lucia in her room on her deathbed, probably surrounded by angels and every other spiritual being that you could imagine.
Well, certainly she, as I say, Our Lady promised her to take her to heaven. She saw, as you know, the vision of hell on July 13th, but on May 13th, the first apparition, Lucy asked her, "Will I go to heaven?" "Yes, Lucy, you will go to heaven." "Will Jacinta go to heaven?" "Yes, Jacinta will also go to heaven." "Will Francesco go to heaven?" "Yes, he too will go to heaven, but first he must pray many rosaries." After that, Francesco prayed the rosary 6 to 8 times every day. Certainly the church has declared that Francesco and Jacinta are in heaven by beatifying them on May 13th, 2000. Pope John Paul went to Fatima to do that, to make that declaration. And I believe he's opened the stage for the final, for the declaring them canonized saints. That has not been officially done yet, but he's certainly moving close to making that happen. However, Sister Lucy was promised more than by the Pope, by Our Lady herself, who's much more important than the Pope, that she would go to heaven. And so exactly whether she was surrounded by the angels or visibly seeing them, of course, she'd have her guardian angel with her, as we all do during our lifetime. But the fact is that we can be certain with the message of Fatima that she, if she's not in heaven yet, which I expect she is, she'll certainly on her way there.
Apparently, she divulged the third secret to Bishop of Lira in Portugal in 1944. So that would have been some 37 or some 27 years after she was told it.
Yeah.
And then he confided the secret to Pope Pius XII.
She confided it to him in writing and told him he could read it, but neither Pius, neither the Bishop of Lira, Fatima, at the time, Bishop Silva, read it, and I believe that Pope Pius XII knew it, but he didn't read the document that she wrote it down on. He actually, Pope Pius XII, referred to the secret when he said that I am worried by the Blessed Virgin's warning to the Church to not commit the suicide of altering her faith in the liturgy, and he said, I am worried by the Blessed Virgin's messages to Lucy of Fatima. This persistence of Mary about the dangers which menace the Church is a divine warning against the suicide of altering the faith in her liturgy, her theology, and her soul.
The other two secrets, the first two secrets, did she disclose them publicly, or was that done through the Church?
They were disclosed, actually. She wrote them in her third and fourth memoir, and Church permitted the publication of those within a year or so of her writing them down. She wrote the third memoir in August, completed in August of 1941, and the fourth memoir in December the 8th of 1941.
Why was this third secret so secretive? Why didn't she just tell us, during the revelations of the other two?
I think it's because that the, on one of my television programs, I had a guest we were talking about the trials going on in the Church today, that I said, would you have believed in the 1950s when you were going to school that you would have to defend your own children from priests and sisters in teaching Catholic schools? She said, no, I would never believed it. I said, well, that's now you understand why the third secret was not released until 1960, because the problems in the Church became clearer then as they prepared for the Second Vatican Council. And these people who claimed, these clergy or religious who claimed to be Catholic, actually infiltrating the Church to destroy the Church from within, especially attacking the faith, was something that the faithful in the 40s and the 50s could not conceive of. At least many of them couldn't conceive of that. And that's why I think it was, as Sister Lucy herself was asked, why she was asked by Canon Barthes, one of the writers on Fatima, one of the researchers in the 40s, why must we wait till 1960? She said, because it will be clearer then. And of course, we know from Cardinal Ottaviani and from Cardinal Ratzinger as well that the secret is a prophecy, that is a prediction of the future. So the secret is a prediction of the future from 1917, which becomes clearer in 1960. Well, in 1960, the prophecy of the apostasy within the Church, as Cardinal Chappi tells us, the third secret foretells, among other things, the great apostasy in the Church begins at the top, begins from the Vatican. And that is inconceivable for most Catholics to foretell or foresee. But, you know, with the benefit of hindsight of 40 years, 45 years looking backwards, that's obviously what the secret was about, and that's what all the witnesses that we've lined up in our book, The Devil's Final Battle, they can read it on the web if they want. Just go to Devil's Final Battle, I think it's .com, I believe.
And you also have Fatima.org?
Fatima.org, they can also... I'm just looking for the website for Fatima, because the whole book is up there. If anyone doesn't want to buy it, they can just read it off there.
And we've got a link for you, too, up
sure.
there on the website.
So on there, you can see it's the result of research of more than 40 years into that book, just published a couple of years ago, and everything has been, it's just Devil's, all one word, www.devilsfinalbattle.com.
Let me also, one thing, Father, that I'm beginning to see, and this is happening so rapidly, and I want to get your views on this. You know, here we are, of course, the Israelis and the Palestinians are attempting to work out some kind of peace, even though the militants in the Palestinian faction don't want this, and I don't know what's going to happen there. There's obvious problems in Iran. There are brand new problems cropping up now in North Korea, and these are all serious.
Yes.
Today, we have this massive bombing in Lebanon in which
yes.
its former prime minister is killed, and the sabers are rattling that Syria may have been involved. This person was beginning to move more toward the west. And I think Syria wanted him out. There's a logical reason to believe that there's some problems there now. China apparently is beginning to squabble with Japan at a point where we haven't seen that in years. To me, it looks like and feels like this planet is on the verge of something major.
I agree.
What do you see?
I agree that certainly, you know, and I think that the tsunami we saw in Asia is just a foreshadowing. You know, the Pope himself, speaking about the Third Secret, spoke about that millions would die from moment to moment from the various land masses of the being covered by the sea. He spoke about that in 1980. He referred that to the Third Secret. All of these things taking place, certainly the drums of war are becoming more and more evident. You have Mr. Putin talking about having a certain kind of missile. I forgot exactly what he spoke about in November 17th and 18th, about the being able to get past any kind of Star Wars defense that the United States has or plans to develop. He said that quite publicly. So, and both they've announced further joint exercises between China and Russia. Just a year ago, United States, the biggest exercises since 1982 took place with Russia, with the United States clearly as the target of those exercises.
Is this indeed the devil's final battle?
It may well be. Certainly, Our Lady herself at Fatima spoke about the annihilation of nations. That's the one prophecy that has not taken place yet for not obeying her messages. It certainly will take place if we don't listen in time. And that's why, of course, I spent 27 years plus of my priesthood to promote the message of Fatima to avoid that disaster. But despite all we've done so far, it seems like we've been ignored for the most part, not so much ourselves, but Our Lady Fatima message. And as a result, we will see the annihilation of nations. And that nation could easily be, United States or Canada, since the United States is number one target of the Russian missiles. And if they're not there, they can be retargeted within 2 minutes, as we saw in the 1995 missile crisis when Norway set up an American missile, and went over the Russian territory. And it was counted on 60 minutes, and within 2 minutes, they'd retargeted their targets in the United States. And as Colin Powell has said, the United States could be wiped off the face of the earth by Russia in just half an hour.
Sister Lucia, of course, losing her eyesight, losing her hearing in the months preceding her death. I am wondering, however, Father, if you have any insight into her views on worldly events. Did she talk much about that with anyone?
She was silenced, as we carried out. We've now, for about 15 years since we've carried on our campaign, obviously again in vain, to have Sister Lucy freed from her being silenced by the Vatican. Ever since 1960, there's over 1 billion Catholics in the world, approximately 18% of the world's population, and yet there's only one Catholic that was chosen by God to live all this time from 1917, the witness of the Third Secret. And she's the only one out of all the Catholics who were forbidden to speak about Fatima without prior permission from either Cardinal Ratzinger or his predecessor in the Holy Office or the Pope himself. And so it's been a great shame that we didn't have her testimony given in public. But even the fact that when they would go and say that they've given the whole secret, they wouldn't release her from her vow of silence. So if they'd given the whole secret, as they claim, then why would they keep her silent after that? Well, obviously it's because there's something still to be given. We deal with that in chapter 15 of the book, The Devil's Final Battle. Let's hear the witness, for heaven's sake, pointing out that what Cardinal Bertone claimed was Sister Lucy's endorsement of his message, it's actually chapter 14, Let Us Hear the Witness, for heaven's sake. And it points out that the many inconsistencies which lead you, I think anyone, to the conclusion that Cardinal Bertone was not giving us the complete truth on this matter.
What have we lost with the death of Sister Lucia?
Well, Sister Lucia is, obviously the connection to the message her message has been recorded and in her memoirs and in her letters. But we've lost the original witness. Obviously, she's gone to heaven. Of course, we have her intercession in heaven for us, but we've lost a victim's soul, which also bodes badly for us, since no doubt her prayers and sacrifices obtain many graces from the Immaculate Heart of Mary for the salvation of souls and for no doubt for the good enlightenment of our leaders, of our governors, of our church leaders, and so forth. So we can only take her message more seriously than ever. I think that it's partly a chastisement for not listening up to now, that God has taken away the one witness who could have clarified so many things, and now we'll have to go through the chastisements unless we wake up before we have to go through.
We'll be talking with you, I'm sure, in the future, Father. Thank you. The Devil's Final Battle, your website, of course, linked up right now with your name on coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment. We've got open lines for you. Numbers west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109.
Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And here's some more stories of the day before your phone calls. As I was saying at the top of the hour, I'm getting this very strange feeling. Lots of things happening around this planet right now that I do not like, and I'm sure you feel the same way. A powerful bomb tearing through a motorcade of a former prime minister in Lebanon, killing him and others, carving a 30-foot hole in a street, and he was opposed to Syria. And, well, let's keep your eyes on that situation. A French-educated finance minister and former London physician emerged Monday as the top candidates to be Iraq's next prime minister after the clergy-backed Shiite Muslim Alliance failed to get the necessary majority of votes to control the legislature. This is a little bit better for us to have these Western-oriented figures appear as the possibilities there. Fire raging through a crowded mosque in Tehran in Iran, killing 59 people, injuring 250 other people. China, as I mentioned, a gas explosion in a coal mine there. 203 miners are dead in that situation as well. Arthritis drugs, which have been linked with heart attacks and strokes, raise blood pressure more than any other painkillers now, according to Australian scientists. Concerns over one of the class of drugs, Vioxx, led it to being withdrawn by its maker. European regulators are conducting a safety review of these so-called inhibitor drugs. The latest study, which looked at 19 trials involving 45,000 people, is in the archive Archives of Internal Medicine. Compared with other painkillers called non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs and dummy drugs, these inhibitors cause increases in blood pressure that the authors of the study believe is very concerning. Obviously, high blood pressure, hypertension, is a risk factor for stroke and heart disease and attacks. U.S. astronomers say they have found the smallest planet orbiting outside our solar system to date. The New World, which is about one-fifth the size of Pluto, is the fourth planet to be discovered orbiting around a pulsar. A pulsar is a spinning neutron star producing powerful beams of radiation. This new planet is orbiting inside a large, and probably loud, cloud of hot charged gas that surrounds the pulsar and is some 1,500 light years away from planet Earth. Pulsars are formed from the collapsed cores of so-called supergiant stars that have exploded. Listen to this story. A large black ball, originally designed by Swedish scientists for use on Mars, could be the latest weapon in the war against burglars. This device acts as a high-tech security guard capable of detecting an intruder thanks to either radar or infrared sensors. Once alerted, it can summon help, sound an alarm, or pursue the intruders taking pictures. It is capable of traveling 20 miles an hour, somewhat faster than a human being. Even worse, they say, for intruders, the robot ball can still give chase over mud, snow, and water. Now, what's the one thing that this reporter who covered that story failed to look into, failed to mention? His lead was that this large black ball was originally designed by Swedish scientists for use on Mars. What would an object that they would make, which was used for finding intruders, be on Mars? Why would they want that on Mars? What were they looking for? Think about that for a moment. The After Dark CD is still available to you for how much longer, I do not know. It's a double CD, 2.5 hours of incredible bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, and great ghost stories. Couple ways to order it. It has its own website, www.afterdarkcd.com, or its own toll-free phone number, 800-598-2331. That's 800-598-2331. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right to the phones west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, good evening, mighty Leviathan of the night.
Yes, indeed.
This is Steve in Lower Lake, California.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. If you blink, you'll miss my town. I'm calling specifically about the Jay-Z woman you had on last Thursday.
Jay-Z night.
Grandpa thing.
Yes.
Well, I listened to the whole show, and there was nothing she said that I could definitively disprove until almost the end of the show.
What was that?
And then I got her.
What? Tell me.
When she said that Ramtha told her that there is a planet on the opposite side of the sun.
That we cannot see. That's what she said.
Now, true. George, I used to build model rockets, too. I know about science like you do. And if there were, in fact, such a planet, it would be abundantly obvious because of its gravitational effect.
I would think that. Now, we might not see it.
Right.
I would agree with her there. But you would think by now that with our technology and our knowledge of this solar system, that we'd figure out there was something awry here.
Long ago, 200 years ago, we would have figured that out, George. And as you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if Ramtha actually exists and is this mighty omniscient or highly advanced being, he would not give her disinformation. And there is in fact no planet on the opposite side of the sun. If there were, it would be easily detectable.
So maybe Ramtha was wrong in one thing finally.
Well, I guess anything's possible, but you know, she said that Ramtha came to her in her kitchen one day. But when you take into account that she was building pyramids in her kitchen for a few days before that, that tends to make me a little skeptical of her of what she alleges.
You know what's so neat about that interview?
What was that?
We just don't know.
Well, it was entertaining.
You got that right. Hey, Steve, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
We just don't know. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, George. It's Chuck from Milwaukee.
Hey, Chuck.
Listening to you on 11:30 a.m. I was asking you about, I was going to ask you about this, I would call it a new threat to America. It's a certain kind of music. It's actually called black metal. Have you heard anything of it?
I have not. Of course, obviously heavy metal, but not black metal.
Okay, well, it's, I'll put it this way, it's a more violent form of heavy metal.
Now, who's playing it? Is it on radio stations?
Well, none of the radio stations have played it as of yet. It's just making its way into American shores. And
what is it, more violent?
Definitely.
No, it's just what we need.
More violent, but the problem is that these guys do attack each other. I mean, they, you know, they have attacked each other at shows.
You mean the musicians attack each other?
Yeah.
Oh,
actually, one musician is on trial right now in Sweden for murdering another one of his band members.
On stage?
No,
he murdered
him at his home. Because, the thing is behind black metal is that they're more into a ritualistic pagan rituals.
All right, I'll tell you, I'm going to look into that. One of the things we've got coming up with Lauren Coleman at the top of the hour, in addition to our discussion about Mothman and Bigfoot, is he has written a brand new book called The Copycat Effect, and he talks about issues like that. So for the first half hour of our three-hour chat with Lauren, I'm going to talk with him about this in his new book. He does have a degree in social work, and that may very well be something that he would understand more than I. So I'll bring that up, but that's just what we need, more music like that. Look, I love music. I don't know if you saw the Grammys or not. By the way, Grammys, lowest ratings in years. But you know what? Quality music done the right way is pretty darn good, as long as I think it takes, you know, some of the debauchery out of it and some of the language that they've had. I wonder what I would have been like if I were a parent when the Beatles came to the shore back in the 60s. I wonder if I would have panicked if my kids listened to that music. Because when you think back and listen to Beatle music, it's pretty tame compared to what you hear now. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
This is Stan from the Chicago area.
Stan, good to talk with you.
I have a story that I'd like to relate to you that from the very first time I heard it, it has continued to intrigue me to this day.
All right.
It was a story about Pope Leo XIII back in 1911. After having said Mass in the Vatican, witnesses said that he froze and turned a pale white and was in like a trance-like state for a few minutes. And afterwards, they asked him, well, what happened? And he continued to relay the story that he said that he had seen and overheard a conversation between the devil and God, and that the devil was bragging that he can destroy mankind. And God was basically saying, my people are stronger than that. And the devil went on to say, give me the time, give me the power, and I'll achieve my goal. God supposedly said, you have the time, you have the power, you have 100 years. If at the end of the 100 years you don't achieve your purpose, you'll be sent back to the pit in a shameful defeat.
Well, let me tell you something. If we're in the middle of that period, or toward the tail end of it, the old devil's sure doing all he can, isn't he?
Well, look at the timeline. 1911 at 100 years, that red-faced buzzard's ramping up. But you know what? He's going to lose.
He's going to lose. You got that right. He may win a few battles, but he's not going to win the war.
Thanks, George.
Okay, my friend. Take care. Let's go next to our first-time caller line. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Joe. How you doing?
Good, Joe. You sound like you're driving somewhere.
Hey. I'm a
yes, you are.
Driver heading to northern Nevada right now. Listen to you on XM Radio.
Well, welcome to the program. What's going on?
thanks. Hey, I was going to ask you, I wonder if there's what your take is on, you think there might be any correlation between chemtrails and the flow of the jet stream, if maybe it's a way to control the jet stream.
I think that's another good possibility. I still personally don't know what they're for. I do believe that it's being done on purpose, but I don't know if it's weather control, our control, or even things like the jet stream. I don't know. Had a friend of mine came from St. Louis to Los Angeles this weekend, got here so fast, and that's going the opposite way of the jet stream. I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, I see a lot of strange weather out here on the road, I'll tell you. But anyway, thanks a lot, George.
Okay, Joe, you take care. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
Good evening. This is Steve from North Bend, Oregon.
Steve, what's going on?
I have a very interesting tale for you.
Okay.
Last week, I met a gentleman, and he's a retired police officer, and he told me a very interesting story. He said that back in the 60s, he was a sonarman on a nuclear sub, and they're on maneuvers under the polar ice cap.
Okay.
And he said that he picked up an anomaly on his sonar screen, and he said when he first picked it up, it was 80 miles to the bow of the ship. And he had never picked up anything like this before and notified the captain of it. And as you probably know, on nuclear submarines, they have very sophisticated computer systems.
Oh, yes, they sure do.
Yeah, and they can tell you what ship it is and who the captain is and basically anything about it. And he said, but he kept running this through the computer, and they kept coming back unknown, unknown. And he said that within 7 minutes of his first contact with this, it was 4 miles aft. And in that time span, he said this, whatever it was doing approximately 400 miles per hour.
In the ocean?
In the ocean.
That's fast.
Yes, it's incredibly fast. And he said that it just mystified him to no end. And shortly thereafter, the powers-to-be on the boat came around and confiscated the tapes, and they were told not to talk about this. And so he asked me, he said, well, just was it that we picked up? And their cover story was, well, that it was an airplane, and we picked up an anomaly on the radar. But he said, I wasn't working radar, I was working sonar, and they had 36 foot of ice above them anyway. So there's no way they could have picked up an airplane. And then after hearing the story, I got to thinking about it. And as you probably know, I think it was last month that they had the submarine accident off of Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
where the submarine supposedly hit an undisclosed mountain.
Well, actually, it was, I think, 300 miles off of Guam, so yeah, it was closer so, that way.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere around in there. But anyhow, this whole story didn't ring true to me, because never in that story that they said about hitting this mountain did they say anything about court-martialing the sonarman or anything, because they were acting like they were driving totally blind, which
submarine. Did you see the front of that submarine, too, when it came up?
I have not.
It is amazing that that sub even was able to get up, because it was devastated.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But anyhow.
Well, let me ask you, though. This sure. person who told you about the sonar and what he was tracking, did he speculate on what he thought it might have been?
He just kind of smiled, and he says that it was a mystery to him. And he said if they wanted to call it an airplane, he kind of laughed, and he said, okay, I will call it an airplane.
But yeah, an underwater airplane.
Not an airplane.
No, no, no.
And he said he's been out in the Navy for 30 years. They were told not to talk about it. And he said, I've been out 30 years, so I'll talk about whatever I want to talk about. And like I said, he's a retired police officer, which kind of leads to his credibility.
Oh, sure, you believe him.
Yeah, I absolutely did believe this story. And he said this was, like I said, an object that he could absolutely not identify when a very experienced sonarman on a sub. And
did he say how big the object was?
He said it was big.
Okay.
That was the only way he described it. He said it was big. And he said within 7 minutes it covered 400 miles.
That's incredible.
I'm sorry, not 400 miles. It was traveling at 400 miles per hour.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, sure.
That's a great story. And probably true. Wild card line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Dana from Sykeston, Missouri.
Oh, Sykeston, one of
our
old familiar haunts. How are you?
I wanted to talk a little bit about that program that Art had with John.
John,
he interviewed him.
John Lear?
Uh-huh.
Yes, the one we replayed on Sunday. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. He had mentioned, John did, that he's saying these aliens are our creators.
His theory, yeah.
Right. And I have a theory of my own on that.
Okay.
Well, I think that maybe these aliens are wanting us to believe that they are our creators.
How can,
why
do they want to throw us off? What's going to happen?
Well, I think when they finally want to reveal themselves to us, you know, they're gonna want us to be afraid of them. You know,
for this power thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm one of the believers that it's entirely possible that we were seeded from aliens. I believe in God and a higher power. Make no mistake about that. And I'll argue with people until hell freezes over. But I do believe it's very possible that we were genetically altered by extraterrestrials who came here. I happen to believe a lot on what Zechariah Sitchin, are you familiar with his work into the old Sumerian tablets and research that he did? That he claims that we were visited hundreds of thousands of years ago. And I believe that's very possible.
I can believe that. I'm not a real religious person myself. I mean, I believe in God. But I've always had that feeling that there's more to it, you know, that there's other, you know, other beings out there, and I believe that our government's hiding a lot of it.
Oh, you know what? We are so young when you consider how old the universe is. We've been visited. I don't know how they got here. I think it was through other dimensions or wormholes. They figured out physics that we don't even know yet. And I think they've been here. You know, this has probably been a post for all I know.
Well, they're probably just sitting back and watching what we're doing to our world and, you know, the environment and everything else. And I don't know. But anyway.
Well, you do know. You're pretty darn close, I think. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Pretty darn close. I think you've got a pretty good theory. Do I have time for another? I do not. In a moment, Lauren Coleman will be our guest. In addition to Mothman and Bigfoot, the copycat effect, how the media, popular culture trigger the mayhem in tomorrow's headlines. We'll talk with him about this for the first half hour or so of the program, and then we're going to get into some just fascinating Mothman stories and some other creature stories as well. He's even done work into those Thunderbirds, these huge birds that a lot of you have called us on over the past several years, birds with 30-foot wingspans. Now, what the heck are they? I'll be back in a moment.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.